There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Do you have the time to listen to us one? Do you want me to keep going?
That's sort of like, in my mind, I was picturing some sort of like post-apocalyptic world where a legend. Where what are those things called? You put money in and they play records. Oh my God, my brain's not working.
Yeah, what is it?
You know.
Rubik's Cube.
What are they called? Oh my God, my brain isn't working. The heat's melting me. You put money in, they play
magician,
they play records.
Is your brain going to be switched on for this episode, do you think?
My brain's always switched on.
Hey, because by the way,
this
episode we have today is all about decluttering.
Minimalism. Yeah.
If you watch the Netflix documentary about minimalism, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. We have Chris Lovett on the podcast, author, speaker, motivational speaker, TED talker,
ex-DJ nonetheless.
Chris, one day in his life, decided to get rid of everything that he didn't need. He didn't believe he needed a house, a car, many of his possessions. He got rid of it all because he realized his life was too cluttered and he was just coasting. This whole idea of minimalism at the moment is a really interesting topic because I feel like we are, as I say in the episode, a generation that needs so little. We don't need all this stuff.
Well, every generation has not needed stuff,
yeah, really. But this generation in particular, we talk about Amazon, that little slidey thing. We have so much stuff that we don't need.
Yeah, well, I think as a civilization, we've gone past that threshold of, there was a stage in history when like we were just doing stuff to survive.
Mm.
Whereas now everything's cushy, where our houses are heated, well, if we can afford it at the minute.
Mm.
But we've got to the stage where we don't really know what to do with ourselves, so we spend it on pointless crap.
So today's episode is all about understanding minimalism and understanding how you can declutter your life and the benefits of it. It's an amazing episode.
And in that vein, let's say no more words. Let's keep it minimalist.
Okay,
let's introduce.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, keep it short though. Keep it minimal.
Go and check out our Instagram @PrivatePodcast, our TikTok @PrivatePodcast. Send us some messages. We want to hear from you. Okay, keep it minimalist.
Minimalist.
Alex Mitten and I with Chris Lovett on the podcast. Enjoy. Chris, welcome.
Jamie.
Welcome to the podcast.
Pleasure to be here, my friend.
We like our guests to intro themselves into the camera. And if you can try and do it in 30 seconds, that would be awesome. So whenever you're ready, give it a go.
Wow, no pressure.
No? Well, time, that's 3 seconds already gone.
Yeah. Into the camera as well. Not
yeah.
To you guys.
You're up to 10 seconds.
Right. Okay, great.
10 seconds.
Deadpan. You can't smile either.
No showing teeth. Great. So my name is Chris Lovett and I am a minimalist, speaker, coach and author of the book Discovery of Less. That's pretty much all you need to know right now.
Radio DJ.
We'll come on to that later.
Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, guys, it's a pleasure to see you. Are we going to talk about the tank top or we?
Listen, when you've been training like
he's not wearing it because of the heat. He's wearing it because he's been working out.
Have you really?
It's a good question. Have you really? Because
Someone said to me, I was walking down the street, and you know what someone said to me? They went, "You look defined." They didn't say that.
Defined as well. What a choice of word. I mean,
defined.
Okay, well, defined. Chris, what other choice of what words? If you weren't going to use defined, what would you say?
I don't know. I wouldn't use defined. I don't know. What do people say when they...
You look defined. I can make the difference between the background and your body. That's
it? No, I've decided recently, Chris, I don't know about you, I've been going to the gym recently. I've never done that really before. I used to do cardio.
You've never really done that before. Oh, of course you have.
I did cardio. When I say go to the gym, I mean doing weights.
You've done weights before. I've seen you do them.
When have you seen me do weights?
Back in the weight days. In the weighty days.
The only time we've ever done weights before was in LA once, and someone thought he was Robin Thicke.
Nice.
Hey, I was just there minding my business, trying to get a swole chest. And
hey, look, you know, maybe the person that said you look like Robin Thicke had blurred lines. I don't know.
Yeah.
There we go. He's in.
Are we here? Are we here for the pun of fun?
We're right here. We're in for it. Your story and what you're about is so interesting. And I was listening to your TED Talk.
Oh, sure.
Which, by the way, we can get all into it, but doing one of those must be incredibly intimidating.
Yeah.
To write a speech, yours was about 15 minutes, the one that I listened to. How scary was that?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. So do you remember we used to be at school and the teachers go, right, go up at an assembly and do a talk.
Mm.
Yeah, that was very, very nerve-wracking. But yeah, to almost write out a talk in 15 minutes, but make it a little bit entertaining and make it like a story, and then also label in like some facts and a call to action at the end, you know, and try and be a little bit inspiring. It can be quite difficult. And then when you go there and they tell you, oh, by the way, it's streaming all around the world, and you're like, what? Well as doing it in front of a live audience as well.
Wow.
And it was funny because I was standing behind the curtain and they go, right, you're on first. I went, oh, first, don't even get time to just settle in, just go straight for it. And I heard like a massive load of laughter in the audience just before I went on. I was like, what's gone on? So I didn't know. And I went out and I did the talk. Round of applause came back. And I was like, so what happened just before I went on? Apparently they played a TED Talk from like 2016 that had like 150 million views. So they go, there you go, guys, right. Now Chris Lovett. And you're like, oh, God. This guy from Croydon who's just talking about selling his wrestling figures or something like that. Like, how do you follow that? But I didn't know. So if I'd have known, then I might have done full Eminem and just, sick on my T-shirt. But no,
that's amazing. Well, I thought that your mic would have been on. Yeah, and then the whole auditorium had heard it.
Did you ever see that video of that? I think it was a guy. They're in some big conference. It looked quite sort of like high political sort of status. And he goes to the loo and forgets that he's mic'd up and is like going for it. He's like,
that nearly happened. That nearly happened to the guy who went on last. And he said, oh, is my mic still on? And then I'll just take this off. And I was like, please don't go toilet. Don't go to the toilet right now. And you see someone go running into the backstage. You go, I'll take that off for you. But yeah, well, that's horrible.
There's an amazing documentary, if you ever get to it, called The Jinx, J-Y-N-X.
Wow. About the serial killer.
About a guy called Bobby Durst, who's a billionaire, where his family are tycoons, property tycoons in America.
This is going to be a great link.
Yeah, this is,
Where's the link?
And now, Chris, tell me about your murders. How did you murder your way to the top? But this guy called Bobby Durst, he's, in his 70s or whatever, he got away with murder 3 times.
Wow.
And I'm going to ruin it. So spoiler alert, if you're going to go and watch this, don't listen now. So I'm going to tell you, Chris. This is a spoiler for you. He then basically got away with murder 3 times. A movie was made about him starring Ryan Reynolds, and Bobby Durst phones up the director and says, I want to have a sit down one-on-one interview with you where we talk about this. So they go, okay, great, let's do this. They make it into a 5-part series about how these court cases went. At the end of the 5 episodes, he really rocks him, and Bobby Durst goes into the bathroom and he's still mic'd up, and he confesses to himself in the mirror that he committed the murders. Wow. They sold it to HBO for $20 million, and then they took it to the police.
Wow.
And Bobby Durst still got off.
Wow.
He still got off.
Yeah, because it's recording you were recording without him knowing. They said stop recording, they're recording, which is illegal. So loads of different things. Anyway, this is beside the point. Naivety is an interesting thing, right? So there we go.
We should do like movie reviews and TV reviews. And
yeah, we should do that.
I was in the whole way.
You liked it?
Yeah, it's great.
But you said, what was interesting is when you did the TED Talk, is you said if you had known what you were walking out to, probably you would have been a bit different.
Yeah.
Naivety is a huge thing in life.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
always think, how important do you think naivety is in terms of, like, you know, what your minimalism and understanding what life is about, and how we sort of fall into this social structure and we think this is life. And actually, when we break outside of that, we realize how kind of naive we've been for so long. Do you think that's fair?
I think it's a really interesting point. Like, I kind of link that to maybe overthinking and worrying too much about situations you're about to go in. And the thing is with, like, naivety and overthinking is we create these stories. So whether they're true or false, we create them. And the more we tell these stories to ourselves, the more they become true. So things like when I was maybe 18, 19, I did English for A-level and I failed. I went to the exam, didn't get enough points or didn't do my coursework well enough. And so that story was, Chris is a failure at writing.
Mm-hmm.
So for 20 years, I never wrote anything.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I start writing an article and an article gets noticed, and then I wrote a few more and someone says to me, you should write a book. But I was like, oh no, I can't, because of the story that I've told myself for decades that I can't write. But if I'd have had that naivety, I'd have just done it anyway.
Exactly.
And that's almost like having that kind of innocence and that naivety to just go and try stuff. And I've tried to use that as an older gentleman in my kind of, you know, late 30s now. That naivety, not worrying too much about life and stuff.
It's like stripping away those layers of, like, or in the spiritual sort of sense, say, like, layers of ego, and you build that through experience. So you obviously had that experience that then informed you that you're never going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Just pull that away, give it a go again, and then you started to succeed.
That's it, man. I wish I'd noted, you know, who's my teacher back then, and I could go back and say, do you want a signed copy?
And that would have been great. That would have been an FU to them.
Go and read your book too.
You're still a failure. Yeah. You're still rubbish.
Yeah. I totally believe in business as well. I think, like, or setting up anything, I think that naivety is your biggest weapon. And a lot of people don't realize this, is that what happens is you go through life trying to gain experience from so many other people. So you go and start selling fridges, and what you want to do is hire someone who has been selling fridges their entire life, which is a positive thing in lots of ways. But actually, at the same time, a very smart man, and I said this before, but a very smart man called Rory Sutherland told me once, he said, following logic is a good thing when you're trying to do safe things, like driving a car or flying a plane or whatever it is. Follow logic because it gets you back in the same place as everybody else, a safe place. When you're trying to do something different, set up a business, writing a TED talk, writing an article, setting up a brand, whatever it is, never follow logic because it gets you back in the same place as everybody else. Yep. Go against the grain. Follow your naivety. And actually, following your naivety in life is the most fundamentally one of the most powerful things you can totally do.
100%. Yeah.
And we don't do it because of fear. We're actually scared to do that because the unknown is far more scary than the known.
Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And what I find fascinating about you, Chris, is that you have throughout your adult life, I would say, have stepped into the unknown.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
You did it. And how did that even begin? And explain what minimalism is.
Yeah.
How that came about and who you are, and take as long as you want.
Right. Strap in.
Strap in. Here we
get
go.
Get comfy, everybody. Okay. Okay. So, my version of minimalism is removing the excess out of your way so you could achieve what it is you want to achieve, whether that is a life goal, adventures, career change, whatever it is, you know, or even like a cleaner, calmer home. You know, it's removing the stuff that doesn't add value, doesn't enhance your experience of life, doesn't add value, isn't useful. So it's almost like cutting away the excess fat, basically. And it all started probably around 2016 time, where I was just a bit bored with life. You know, you tend to fall into stuff. You fall into a career, you fall into a place to live. You just end up drifting. And actually, decisions are made to continue with that drift. You're not really in control. You're just going along. You know, the waves are hitting and you're moving along with it. And I was really bored. And I was like, I want to go on an adventure. But I couldn't, because I had no money, because I was in debt, because I was buying too much shit that I didn't need. I was in a kind of a safe, comfortable job that paid the bills, you know, so there was no need for me to leave because of the fear, what you were saying earlier. And everything was just very, very safe. And to climb out of that bubble of safety, something had to change. And for me to go traveling, I had to get money. But I didn't have any. So I thought, if I sold a couple of my DVDs, maybe I could get a little bit of money to
Where were you going to travel to? Bognor Regis. bus ticket.
Also, porn goes a long way.
Porn goes a long way. What, selling vintage?
The DVD.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I won't go into details as to what DVDs they were. But yeah, and I found that, like, so I started scanning the back of the barcodes on the DVDs and realised that that wasn't quite enough. So I thought, what about the CDs that I had that I'd never really listened to? And then all of a sudden it started to, oh, £5. Great. What can I do with that £5? Oh, I can put it towards a trip to like Bognor, or maybe even not that far, maybe even Selhurst or something.
But every penny counts. It's adding up, right?
That's right. And so during that day, it was a Saturday. I remember I was sitting in my front room and I hadn't eaten anything all day and I looked a bit like Gollum. And I was surrounded myself with piles and piles of books, DVDs, CDs, old tech that I hadn't used, probably about 70% of my stuff from my flat. And my partner at the time walked in and she's like, what on earth are you doing? And I went, I'm selling it all, like this crazy man who hadn't eaten anything all day. And she's like, but why? I was like, well, I don't really need anything. It's not going to get me to Copenhagen or to Slovenia. I can't take it with me. Even though it was only like £150 at the time, that was the start. And I was like, oh, if I can do without two copies of Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, I'll be all right. So then I sold my record collection, I sold clothes, I sold furniture. And the more stuff I sold, the closer I got to achieving my goal. I saved more money. And by the end of the year, I'd probably got a few £1,000 saved up because I hadn't been spending on useless shit anymore. And I sold stuff that I didn't need. Then I sold my home. Then I sold my car and I quit my job. And so, you know, when you go into a place and you have like you have your key ring. So you've got your house, you've got your car, your everything. I had nothing. So it was almost like, shit, this is starting from scratch again. As like a guy in his mid 30s. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to give up everything. And so selling my home and quit my job. And I had enough budget to then go and explore the world. And I went away for about a year.
Where did you go?
Slovenia, Denmark, Canada, America, Jamaica, Singapore, Thailand, Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia. I think that's about it.
Wait, how much money did you have in your account?
I had about $30,000.
Really? Yeah. And you were like, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Spend it all on that.
So I blew most of it on that. And I came back and my parents were like, you ain't got anywhere to live. And literally I just had a backpack and a couple of little bits and pieces that I'd stored at their place. And they're like, well, you stay with us for a bit. So I had to get a new job and almost redesign the life that I wanted to find. But during that trip, I realized that I didn't need a lot of stuff to be happy. So even going to like Vietnam and Thailand, I literally just had a backpack full of clothes, I had an iPad, some chargers and think your essentials, right? And I was having the best time ever. And I'm like, well, I don't really need those four HDMI cables that I was saving for so long, or that, you know, deluxe Scrabble that I hadn't played since 2001. And so I started to have this philosophy of around, well, how can I create a life of less? How can I do it by design? So rather than go back into an industry that I was okay at, I thought, right, I'm going to do something that I enjoy, the naivety. And I just went and found a career as a coach. And then I went and told my story to people around, you know, found what minimalism was. I decluttered and sold everything. And this is the advantage of having that. And someone said to me, you should write a book about that. And I went, nah, you're having a laugh. And they went, no, come into my company and talk about it. You know, all the benefits of having a less is more approach to life. So I went into the company and I did this talk, and people were queuing up afterwards going, telling me their own story of all the attachment they'd had to physical things during their life. Like people that are 50, 60 going, I've still got my train set from when I was a kid. I was like, okay, how's that? Why have you still got that? And they're like, well, it reminds me of a happier time. I'm like, but maybe you don't need the thing to trigger the memory. Maybe you can just take a picture of it. You know, and so these types of things, and, you know, he had a massive loft that was full of junk, and yeah, got home and helped my mum and dad declutter as well. And that was when the emotional attachment came out to stuff. A record collection that my dad had.
Because that's hard to get rid of, right?
Yeah, it's tricky. Yeah, it's tricky. Because once you start to put feelings and emotion into stuff, it becomes way more valuable.
Totally.
So yeah, and so I went into a company, did this talk, and then had a queue of people wanting to tell me their story about issues that they'd faced and things that they wanted to achieve, but they couldn't because they were always cleaning up, or they didn't have enough time, or they didn't have enough money, or didn't have enough about them, or didn't have energy to go and do these things. And you'd be surprised, if you just get rid of a few things, all of a sudden it lifts you.
Does it really?
Yeah, there's lots of studies around...
Well, what are the studies explain that? So,
yeah.
So if you had to list on your hand, you have to say, right, okay, here are five things that are beneficial to your life. So if I was going to talk about cold therapy, I'd say, the reason to do cold therapy is because it raises endorphins, your anxiety is lower, your stress is better, and you shock your body, so therefore...
I had a cold shower this morning, by the way.
Yeah, it's amazing, right?
Yeah, it's great.
So if you had to list, say, to declutter your life, what are the quick benefits you see straight away, you would say?
I stumbled on my CDs, through all the wires, and then, and it's almost found this thing. I was like, okay, well, if I get rid of that, what else can I get rid of? I could get rid of my job. And so...
It went like that.
Yeah, and there was... I was waiting for the negative consequence. I was waiting. I'm still waiting. So, you know, quitting my job, I thought, if I quit my job, I've been doing this all my life. You know, a lot of my friendships have been built from my career. If I walk away now, what does it mean? Went into a new place, new person. Everything was brand new. I was like, fuck it, I've ballsed up here. I'm like, you go into a new place and you don't know anything, you don't know anyone. You know, what have I done? But then, similar to what you said about the naivety, like that diversity of thought, you go into somewhere different, and your ideas that you thought might be quite ordinary are completely amazing to these people that have been in the same situation for decades. So I'm still waiting for that negative consequence of letting go of 25 pairs of Converse and, you know, and giving my clothes to people that need them and will wear them more than I will. So, yeah.
That's amazing. I guess it's such a daunting prospect, because you're essentially getting that blueprint, that 25-year blueprint that you were like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. I've worked to get here. It's taken 25 years, and you've got it and just ripped up and gone, okay, fuck. When's it all going
to
blow up?
That's the keyring thing, right? That's the keyring. I went to my folks, and obviously that from that generation, their version of success was material. How big's your house, car, job, title, etc. If you go, I don't have any of that, you're a failure in their eyes. It's very binary.
Yeah.
But we can then start to create, what does happiness mean to us? What does being, what does adding value, what does making an impact mean in a modern world post COVID? And I don't think we need all the things that we're currently buying. We're very much forced with advertisements, with consumerism. We don't need all that.
I do feel like there is a shift happening now where people are starting to realize that like that material boom that came in like the 80s or 70s actually doesn't really work, like doesn't bring you happiness. So there is now, I feel like there is more of an emphasis on happiness. And I think a lot of people, like, in your life, you're like led to believe that you have to make a mark. Yeah. You have to like do something, like you have to have, like, you leave this planet and you've done something.
Your
like,
legacy.
Your legacy. Yeah, but yeah. Actually, that's, you don't need to do that. What, your legacy can just be like, oh, I was just a really happy guy that enjoyed life and loved and did all these things.
You know, when we've all been to funerals before, not the greatest occasions, but people generally don't tell stories about how much of a nice watch that guy had.
Never.
They will do that at Jamie's.
Yeah, 100%.
That's all they'll be able to talk about.
100%. Yeah, he's buried with all my watches.
Yeah, amazing. But yeah, they tell, you know, when you leave the earth, they say, right, oh, this person had this impact on the family. They were, you know, they tell stories about almost like a little bit like the legacy, like the small impact they made on their community or the things they've done and things like that. Very rarely, or never, have I been to a funeral where they've gone, yeah, you had a really nice car. Kept it smelling lovely.
Yeah.
You're so right, Chris. I love how you just tore at the rule book. I think it's great. Chris, we're going to stop there for part one. I want to come back in part two where we really understand what your definition of happiness is. Coming back in part two. Everybody, click over to the next one because we're freaking ready for you right there. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.